and welcome, of course. I'd like to begin, as I usually do, with checking in with you. Do you have any either leftover questions from before or any questions from your reading? Because now we've finished reading the book. Did anything come up that you'd like to either ask about or comment on? And of course, I love disagreements, so please bring up any of them. One thing I like about my teaching is I'm always willing to rethink, and people in a class help me do that, so really appreciate it. All right, well, let's begin. Today I'd like to look at the chart that's in your book, and I made a copy of it, so I'm going to go ahead and share. And we're going to need three readers because we want to go down the list here, and then we'll discuss. So, do we have three volunteers who'd like to read? If you want to raise your hand. Okay, Barbara, would you read column one, A Primitive Reaction? Somebody else? Sue, would you read column two? And Joe, would you read column three? So, we're going to be reading across. So, start right here at the top one, and then everybody keep in mind that the title right here refers to everything that follows. Okay. So the topic now is how do we respond when someone either hates us or hurts our feelings or offends us in some way? And there are many choices, and I've chosen three. And of course, the third choice is the spiritual response to harm or hate or hurt from others. So that's our basic topic for today. But this will help us see the difference very clearly. Okay. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, so the first column regarding a primitive reaction from what is called our reptilian brain, the first one would be
No, just the first ribbon across.
yes, we hurt or hate back.
Okay.
We do not hurt or hate back.
No, let's start over. So, Barbara, you read this, and then
Oh, yeah, okay.
We have this, then we have this, and then we start here.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go ahead, start over.
Okay, a primitive reaction from what is called our reptilian brain.
A commitment to do no harm from our ethical sense of moral responsibility.
An expression of unconditional loving kindness from our spiritual consciousness.
We hurt or hate back.
We do not hurt or hate back.
We do not hurt or hate back. We go one step further and do good to those who hurt or hate us. This may mean continuing contact or simply goodwill toward them, wishing them the best without further contact. In all this, we hold an intention to forgive.
We pay back.
We do not pay back.
We show love back.
We imitate the aggressive person.
We act in our own creative way.
We show our own personal brand of unconditional love.
We hear an avenger's voice. Do it too.
We hear a mediator's voice. Don't do it.
We hear Michelle Obama. When they go low, we go high.
We become aggressive, actively or passively. We retaliate to right the wrong in accord with street rules.
We act in accord with moral principles and a commitment to nonviolence. We take the moral high ground.
We act in accord with teachings such as the Sermon on the Mount, the Buddhist practice of loving kindness, or a generous version of the Golden Rule.
We are like the guys in the Godfather movies.
We are like Mr. Rogers or Atticus Finch.
We are Christ or Buddha in the world of today.
An adrenaline testosterone driven ego-saving reaction of ill will.
An oxytocin, heart-motivated respect for all people.
Oxytocin, rich, open-hearted sense of human solidarity.
Ego-faced, i.e. fear-based.
Humanism-based.
Love-based.
I alone am important.
You are important too.
We are all deeply linked.
We are successful retaliators.
We are heroes and heroines.
We are saints and bodhisattvas.
We are giving in to our shadow side.
We are showing our love, caring, generosity, and compassion.
We are opening to a grace that expands and deepens our commitment to love and forgive.
Win or lose.
Win-win by two people.
Win-win by two connected individuals.
We enjoy the sweetness of revenge, i.e. the sense of power that we got back at the person or persons who crossed us, and we are glad we can look good in the eyes of our gang.
We grow in self-respect because we are true to our personal standards, no matter how others behave. We have found something sweeter than revenge.
We love ourselves and all beings more. We move toward enlightenment, transformation, and we want that for everyone.
Our motivation is the promotion of our own ego.
Our motivation is caring for the common good.
Our motivation is co-creating a world of justice, peace, and love.
Intimacy cannot happen in this column.
Intimacy can happen in this column.
Intimacy deepens and flourishes in this column.
Thank you all. Very well read. Just a comment on Michelle Obama's statement, when they go low, we go high. And the goal is to remain committed to our personal standard of integrity, not to show that we're better than others. You know, they're low, we're high. That's not what she meant. It's we go high because we want to take the moral high ground, not to show that we're better than the other person. That would be just more retaliation. All right, so any immediate questions from this? You get the basic concept? It took me a while to lay all this out, but I think I got it fairly right. Any areas, Barbara, you had a question?
Go ahead. I was going to say, it's so great. Thank you for doing this, because it's so easy to just be reactive. And this is such a specific and good reminder of the alternatives. So thank you for laying it out this way.
Thank you. Cynthia, you had a comment? Okay. So let's look at the third column, because we're interested in the spiritual consciousness. Notice how in the second column, and it's okay if you only get to the second column in the course of your life. You don't get to the third. The second column is spiritual also. Third column is spiritual and saintly. First column is just back to our most primitive impulses. In the second column, we're just practicing do no harm. And I got that quote from the Dalai Lama. He said, if you can't do a spiritual practice, at least do no harm. And that will be your spiritual practice. So we don't hurt or hate back. And we could just stop there. But look, Christ, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, all these wonderful teachers came along and said, you can go one step further. Not only do you not hurt or hate back, but you even find a way to do something good for the other person. And of course, this could mean that this could also include continuing contact, or if it's somebody who doesn't want continuing contact, or if you don't want continuing contact, you would just have goodwill toward them, wishing them the best without having to have further contact. So instead of paying back, we love back. And we do it in our own way. And we're acting in accord with spiritually evolved teachings, such as the ones in the Sermon on the Mount or the Buddhist practice of loving kindness. When you decide to retaliate, you're like the guys in the Godfather movies. You remember them. They live a very stressed, hateful life, but they succeed in retaliating. Or you could be like people that have come along that you might admire, like Mother Teresa, Mr. Rogers, and so forth. And when you go the next step and show love to the one who hurt you, you're giving Christ or Buddha a chance for another lifetime. That is your lifetime. Of course, they all have different hormonal elements. This column, this third column, in my mind, and I'm open to your ideas, I believe we can do this column on our own, obviously. We can do this column on our own. Just don't retaliate. But when it comes to this column, it's a special grace that's available to everyone, and it's up to us to say yes to it. Grace from the Holy Spirit, higher power, or nature itself. And our motivation here is to promote our ego. Our motivation here is to care for the common good, which is column two is going far enough. But if you want to go the next step, you ask the Holy Spirit for the grace to fill you with an enthusiasm to change the world. So where there was injustice, you want justice. Where there was war, you want peace and work for it. And where there was hate, you want love and work for that. And obviously, if the topic is a partnership, a relationship, it certainly can happen if you're going to be this way. It can happen if you're going to be this way. And it gets deepened if you go this way. All right. Questions about this part? Anything you don't like here or want to comment on? Jenny, go ahead.
Well, I also would like to thank you for this. It's so helpful, and I recognize it's like I need to aim for the saintly column, and maybe I'll get
Yeah,
the okay column.
that's
Yeah,
pretty much
but
where I am.
yeah, right. Here we
It's
are.
a good word. We're going to aim for the third column. But if we only get to the second column, we're happy.
Yeah, that's a pretty good
At
accomplishment.
least we got that far.
Yes. Now, my question is, and this is often, I mean, I'm having a conversation with people on Nextdoor about Memorial Day and how we need to honor those fallen, and I put in the conversation, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we worked towards a future where we didn't have to have wars, you know?
Yeah.
And people are saying, well, war is not necessary sometimes, and I'm like, well, maybe last resort, but so that's I recognize in talking with others about this idea. There is a belief, I think, that, well, there's two beliefs. One is things are not going to change unless a bully only respects being bullied. So that's one thought. And then the second is, what about Hitler? You know, like, didn't we have to go to war? So I'm kind of derailing us, and if you want to look at that later, I understand. But I recognize that that's one of the big restraints about this idea in the world. Not
I agree. Yeah. It's hard to figure it all out. Pope Francis did say there's no more such a thing as a just war, which
Right.
is St. Thomas Aquinas's contribution. He says there is. So it's going to be up to us as to, what we want to do with all that.
Yeah, I guess for me it's absolute last resort if you're harming so many other people. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. So anyways, I'm sitting with that. I'm sitting with that.
Yeah,
I much prefer the pacifist path, but
what you speculate about might be different from what you would actually participate in. Maybe that's a good distinction. Speculate, war is last resort, but when it comes to action, I'll be joining the group that takes a stand in favor of diplomacy rather than war.
Thank you.
All right, other ideas? Sue?
Well, responding to hate or hurt, I wondered if you could comment on the story about the guy that was cut off in traffic that you had shared at shots
Yeah,
him.
you can react this way. You can react right here. And drive up and tailgate the other person, give the other person the finger, scream at the other person. What I personally decided to do, and I have been doing this over the years, I just take my foot off the accelerator. In other words, I'm not going to compete and try to get ahead of the other person or come up beside the other person. I just slow down, let that person go, and I say in my mind or under my breath, I hope you arrive safely. I hope you don't cause any harm to others. And may you find, or may you find the mind and heart of Christ. Something like that. So that's what I've been doing.
Thank you.
And I feel a lot better. It's much less stress oriented. Other ideas, Judith?
Yeah, Dave, I think maybe we're all thinking about the modeling that's going on with our president. The president is talking about he's operating in the first column here, but our reaction, rather than being holier than thou, and knowing that we have a better way to talk to that he should be acting. So what is your answer to that? A loving kindness to him?
Yes, you have to bring him into the mind and heart of Christ, or bring him into the mind and heart of Buddha, however you see your spiritual path. If you don't have a higher power or orient toward Christ or Buddha, you can always go to placing those who have issues into nature itself. You can think of the universe itself as a higher power.
Or you could
I
go to
hope
the
some power in the universe comes and helps.
Or he could go to the Constitution and talk about common good.
Yeah. I was just thinking of a quotation from Romeo and Juliet. She's having a hard time because Romeo just killed her cousin, although it wasn't a duel. Also, Romeo was being exiled, so she won't be seeing her husband anymore. And this is what she's sitting on the windowsill. And she's looking up at the sky, and this is what she says: "Is there not some pity sitting in the clouds that sees into the depth of my grief?" When I heard that, I thought, ah, that's what you sound like when you turn to nature in some way for a power beyond yourself. She's saying, is there something in nature that could help me? Of course, when she says sitting in the clouds, that's God sitting in the clouds also. But that would be an example of there has to be something to turn to in all of this that can help you. What I call an assisting force. The book that we talked about last year was called it's called By Your Side. And in that book, I talk about this topic. All right, other questions? All right, well, let's continue. Cynthia, would you read? Let's see now here. I got to fix this. Oh boy. Let's see if I do this. Are you able to read this, Cynthia?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. The far right corner. Can you see this?
No.
Oh, okay.
I can see it.
You don't see words on the page? Okay, Judith, can you see?
I can see words on the page. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
The far right column is counterintuitive to the ego mind. We are acting from our evolved higher self. We are engaging in a spiritual practice that takes us beyond ego, whose favorite sport is retaliation.
So, in other words, this third column is not what you would ordinarily do or even want to do. Why should I do something good for somebody who is so bad toward me? It's counterintuitive. That's when you know you're in the realm of the spiritual. Okay, continue.
Letting go of retaliation does not mean we don't protect ourselves and others from aggression. It means embracing nonviolent ways to handle injustice in personal relationships and in society. The practice includes experiencing and showing our grief about being hurt, saying ouch to our offender, and opening a dialogue that may lead to reconciliation. Hopefully, this will include an apology from the one who trespassed against us, and forgiveness from us. Forgiveness is letting go of resentment, ill will, and the need to retaliate.
Okay, and of course, that's our little summary of the practice that I'm recommending. But remember that whenever someone hurts you in any way, your immediate reaction is actually grief. You know, the quote from Juliet is when she says, looks into the depths of my grief, she realizes this is what it's about. I'm sad and I'm angry about what happened and I'm afraid of what's going to happen in the future. That's grief. And the purpose of revenge is to avoid the grief. So you're showing the grief, you're saying ouch directly to the other person in whatever way you can do that. You know, when you did that, it really hurt my feelings. And I really like to talk about it. That's opening the dialogue. And you're hoping that that will lead to reconciliation. You're also hoping that the other person will apologize, but you can't make the other person do that. But you can forgive. And that will mean you no longer resent the other person. You no longer hold ill will against them. I hope bad things happen to them. And you certainly no longer or do not have the need to retaliate. Okay, Judith?
Our spiritual practice of non-retaliation is not a strategy to win. It is giving up the need to win in favor of joy that comes from a commitment to a life of integrity and mutual respect. Ultimately, finding an alternative to revenge is not about triumph. It is about transforming our relationships.
Yeah, if you're still looking for a way to win, that's coming from that ego. The whole purpose of this practice, the whole purpose of moving away from retaliation is because something happened in you that transformed you so that now you act in accord with the mind and heart of Christ or Buddha or nature. You have given up the need to win. Or prove you were right, or make sure the other person gets what's coming to him. Phrases like that are no longer in your vocabulary. This whole topic is entirely about transforming our relationships so that they become different from what they were before, or they become bigger and deeper and richer than they ever were before. That's the territory we're in here. Okay, Judith.
All right. When all we have to go by is what humans have usually done, when revenge is our only go-to, it is as if the history of civilization and advances in the spiritual consciousness have never happened. There was no Buddha, no Jesus, no Gandhi, no Martin Luther King Jr., not one living friend to learn from.
I have this strong realization that we needed help from other humans. And it's built into our evolution. If all we had to go by is what our cave people ancestors did, there would be no world left, especially with the kind of weapons we have now. There had to be people who came along and said, there is a different way. And we can listen to them, or we can and ask for the grace to follow what they say, or just remain in the more primitive style. Okay, some comments about all this? Barbara?
This is just kind of a funny, it for some reason cracked me up, but one day I was driving along and someone cut me off. And I said something to my son, who's a special needs person. You know, you don't know what they're going through. They might just be coming from chemotherapy or something. And he was like, I hope they blow up. And I keep thinking about that when I'm driving. It was just like so real. And call him one, but he's a very spiritual person, actually. But, you know, just a normal reaction. I always remember him saying, I hope they blow up. Okay, that's somewhere for me to go from.
I think we can all understand that, and we've all said it.
I have a question.
Yeah, who is that?
Josie.
Oh, Josie, go ahead. Yeah.
Do you think that the only way to get to column three is, was it three? Yes. Is to go through a conversion experience so that you can, because it takes grace. I believe what we're discussing is that it's beyond the realm of just ordinary life. It takes something beyond that. So you think it only happens during a conversion experience, something.
I certainly do. This is entirely about a transformation, a conversion experience. What is conversion? In Latin, it means to turn. You have turned from your inherited primitive impulses going all the way back to early times before civilization. And you have found a way to commit yourself to a whole different way of living. It's absolutely a conversion. And I do say that in the book. It's a, that's why it's connected to grace. Does this make sense to everybody? And if you didn't have this conversion happen, no problem. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help it happen.
Well,
if you want to go there.
I have an example of this in my own life recently, because I was speaking to a spiritual director, and I was giving her an example of something that was a difficult situation for me, and I responded by column one. I got very bothered by a person who came to the laundry room and was not responsible for coming to take out their clothing on a timely basis. So I was waiting for this person to take their things out so that I could get my clothes dried. Nothing. Didn't come, didn't come, didn't come. So unfortunately, I live in a complex and we have common laundry room. So Unfortunately, I was just getting fed up and very upset. And I went, and what people have done in the past that I've noticed is they just take the clothes out and throw them on the top of the machine, whatever thing is going on, whether it's they wash them or if they dried them, they just throw them and leave them there. So I couldn't do it. I just would look in the dryer and I thought, I just can't touch this person's clothing. But I think I know who the person is. So I made a bad choice of going to his apartment, knocking on the door. He did not answer for a long time. So I was really getting upset. So when he did answer, I yelled at him. And I told him, you know, that what's, I just, are you the one that has the lawn? I mean, I was very upset, which shouldn't have happened, but it did. So he came out, he finally got them out. And I was telling this to the sister how terrible I felt about this situation, and that I had intended to still apologize to him. But before I said that, she said, and if, because I said that was a bad choice on my part, I should have just done what other people do and just leave the clothes there, not confront him. So I knew that I was really out of line. And she said, yes. And if you did that, you could, would you fold them? And I thought, wow. She said, you could have left them folded. You know, she was very kind, very gentle. And then you could have folded them. And I thought, oh my God, nothing even occurred to me on that realm. And so, anyway,
Folding would take you into column three, because you did good. So
exactly.
the one who annoyed you.
Now I'm understanding that whole significant issue that took place just by looking at and hearing you. And I did see him again. He came to the laundry room, and I certainly apologized to him.
Well, good for you. You're one of our success stories.
Thank
All
you.
right. Well, our time is running out. Do we have any other questions? We're going to, of course, meet again after the breakout rooms, which are going to be 25 minutes, and we're going to spend an extra 5 minutes at the end. And our topic is very simple. Which column do you find yourself in, and do you want to move toward that third column? Because, of course, it's up to you. Yeah, maybe a second column is as far as you want to go. That's understandable. All right. Tim, do you want to take over?
Yep, thanks, Dave. I put the question in the chat for you all. Your breakout rooms are going to open here shortly. You should be in a room with three folks if possible. Is about 20 minutes right, Dave?
They had asked for 25.
25. Okay, so then we will
Yeah.
come back around 11:10 or so P Pacific time. So we'll see you all here in a bit.
11:10. Okay.
11:10.
So, ideas or comments you'd like to share? Especially anything that came up in the group. Okay, let's see, Barbara and then Jen.
I'll try to be concise. We talked about how humans are such neuro-mirroring beings, and energy can be contagious. And so that therein lies the challenge if someone's coming at you aggressively, to have the wherewithal to take that pause. And I like the ouch, oops is what I try to do in relationship is, you know, ouch,
Yeah.
and just say oops, like, I didn't mean to hurt
Yes.
you, but not taking any responsibility or getting into a whole big blame game. But just the simplicity of that and acknowledging that we do kind of, I feel like energy is contagious. So we have to really be mindful of, I'm not going to match their energy right now. I'm going to just take that minute to get recentered and put on my Christ consciousness or Buddha nature or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Barbara. Jen?
There we go. We had a very spirited conversation, which was delightful. We talked about, well, lastly, I think the question is, how do we motivate ourselves and others ultimately towards this third column? And I think it has to do with the wisdom of understanding, as Thich Nhat Hanh calls it, the interbeing of everything. And that if we understand that, as you were just saying, Barbara, our energy is going to have an impact in the world. And so, what is the world that we want to be part of, that we want to live in, a place that's safe and loving? That's the world I would like to live in. And so, understanding that we're going to have to give it that extra oomph to help create that world. Now, having said that, I think part of the great upset for probably most of us here and so many in the country is that many of us feel like we've been working on that, whether we achieved it or not. We've been working, and there's a bunch of people who have, and we're like, what the heck? What do you mean it didn't work? Why isn't this a transformed place? And we have to recognize that, I guess, we became an actual real force enough that something really wants to come against that. And so the question is, how do we need to be such that we can move into something that transcends what we've got? And I do think it's the third force. It's the demonstration of, life can be like this. But there's so much that you're dealing with in that force that's coming against us. The addiction to that rush of power, and the addiction people have to anger, and we notice it in ourselves. Then we said, well, maybe it's not only addiction, it's just habit, and it's what's familiar, like our whole culture, our childhood taught it to us, our culture teaches it. So there's a lot. This is a big arena, but I feel like we're on the right track with this focus moving towards seeking a saintly existence. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can't talk your way into it, the third column, or think your way into it. It's just something that happens in you. You just notice, I no longer want to be the way I was. I want to be different. And that's where also prayer comes in. Powers, Holy Spirit, help me move in the direction of the mind and heart of Christ. I fancied myself as advanced when I was like around 60, and I noticed that I just no longer had the kind of energy that would make me want to retaliate. It takes adrenaline. And I thought, oh, my spiritual practices have really helped me because I noticed that, I don't go with that adrenaline rush anymore. That's what I thought. Until the doctor told me in passing, without my even asking, I guess the Holy Spirit told him to tell me. He said, by the way, when you're over 60, you have less adrenaline in your system. I thought, oh, that's what happened. I just no longer have that level of energy. But in any case, so when I see someone who is older, who still has that fiery, retaliatory style, I think to myself, he's contradicting what his body wants to do now. So we want to have compassion for that. All right, somebody else. Esau?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, one thing
Hi.
I had a wonderful group. We had a wonderful discussion, but I wanted to just say a small thank you because of Romeo and Juliet quote you gave us from Juliet as she was speaking about grief and looking to the sky, and how you paralleled that with how, higher power can be the greater nature of the universe. Somehow, when I was envision and when I was imagining Juliet looking up to the sky, I feel like for once I finally made a connection with how that can happen without there being a specific, God or entity in place. I mean, I just feel like when you made that parallel with whatever your higher power is, universe or nature, and how nature we can go to that. It finally clicked. And I really appreciate you sharing that. I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I also I think I shared that quote from Saint Bernard. Let me just put it here once more. I'm going to I'll share the screen. Because this quote fits very well with what Esau said. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Okay, so here it is. What I know of the divine sciences and of Holy Scripture, I learned in woods and fields. I have no other masters than the beeches and oaks. Isn't that interesting? I mean, he's saying it right here. He's saying, well, there's two kinds of Holy Scripture. It's in a book, but it's also in the things in nature. And St. Paul himself actually says it too. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, the natural world. Look at this from Master Eckhart. Every creature is full of God. If I spent enough time with a caterpillar, I would not have to write a sermon. Not just Catholic, Lutheran too. God writes the gospel. Not in the Bible alone, but on the trees, flowers, clouds, and stars. Saint Anthony, founder of monasticism, my book is the nature of created things, and any time I wish to read the words of God, the book is open before me. In other words, I just look into nature. All right. Glad we went to that part of the topic. Okay, somebody else had a comment? Judith?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Josie for her what she talked about with she had the incident in the laundry room. I really appreciated you telling that story, Josie, all the way down to folding the clothes of the guy who left it in. That would be the third column.
Thank you. And I wanted to ask Dave, when the doctor told you that about the adrenaline, was it meant for women as well?
I guess so. Yeah, he just said it reduces. I guess Mother Nature wanted us to quiet down. Ingrid?
Yes, I have a situation I was sharing in my group. There's a person, I live in a community, and there's a person here who has a mental illness and who gets angry and yells at other people a lot. And mostly people handled him by ignoring him or getting angry with him. And I chose to associate with him and be loving to him. And I was accused of not having good boundaries. And it affect it, it it puzzled me, and I still wonder about it because I felt like I was doing what was in my heart. And I just wonder if you can comment on that.
Yeah, we're no longer trying to make sure other people get it. When you move in the direction of love in the third column, people will think you're foolish. People will think you're way off. So stick with your, you know, what you're up to.
Thanks.
Does that make sense?
That helps.
And it's not an example of you don't have good boundaries at all.
Okay. Thank you.
It's just being kind. Issa?
Thanks, Dave. I just wanted to go back to Josie's story and piggyback on Judith, thanking Josie for her story. I think it was very touching and very easily to identify with. I have a question for you in regards to, because I felt a lot of humility coming through in this story. And I was wondering if it would be considered that as a way of sharing that story with us, without what I would call vulnerability and transparency, if that pushes Josie into the third column somehow, because it's bringing it out into the world and saying, you know, I did the ouch to somebody else, and in this way, by admitting it out loud and sharing it with others. I feel like that's a growth, a grace. I mean, that's what I wanted to ask.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, makes perfect sense. Thank you. Ingrid, I have one last thing for you. I'm going to share the screen, and maybe you could read this out loud.
Life became a lot simpler when I decided just to let some people misunderstand me. Thank you.
She has said it all.
That says, thanks so much.
Don't try to explain.
Actions speak for themselves.
Yeah, you're just, you know, some people are going to misunderstand.
Yes.
It's just the nature of it.
That was very timely. Thank you.
Sure. All right, other ideas? Okay, let's have one last one, and then we're going to go on to our final thing. Jenny?
I'm sorry to talk twice, but I just, Ingrid, I really could connect with that. And but I think what's happening is there's a presence of consciousness in you. So not only do you have great boundaries because you recognize what's going on with this guy and you're like, I'm okay, I can handle being kind to him. So that's kind of how I saw it was, and that is that's I think an invitation for us as we grow in wisdom and this deeper understanding and maybe receptivity to grace, as you say, is absolutely essential. Is that you have a deeper kind of boundary that allows you to be that soul being that you are is safe. Safe enough that you can be a presence of peace and love in the world. So that's what I saw.
That's very lovely.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to share one more thing. This is from your book, but I am also going to ask Judith to send it to you. This is how I start my day. And Sylvie, would you like to read this? And it gives you the spiritual background for entering the third column. This is the kind of prayer that moves you in that direction.
Loving kindness affirmation. I say yes to everything that happens to me today as an opportunity to give and receive love and to free myself from fear. I am thankful for the enduring capacity to love without reserve that has come to me from the sacred heart of the universe. May everything that happens to me today open my heart more and more. May all that I think, say, feel, do, and am express loving kindness towards myself, those close to me, and all beings. May love be my life purpose, my bliss, my destiny, my calling, the richest grace I can receive or give. And may I always be a compassionate and assisting force to people who are considered least or last, or who feel alone or lost. May all of us care for our planet and co-create a world of justice, peace, and love.
Thank you. Yeah, and when you start the day with this, you place yourself in the container of goodness. And beginning with that word, yes, I'm accepting whatever may happen to me in the course of this day, not just as a happening, but as an opportunity for two things. One, give and receive more love, and two, free myself from fear. This makes me thankful that I have a capacity to love. Where did it come from? Came from the very heart of the universe, a sacred heart. I'm asking that whatever happens to me today would open my heart more and more, just as the universe, Jesus, Buddha, opened their hearts to me. I'm dedicating all my thoughts, words, feelings, doings, and my very self, my very being, as a way of showing loving kindness in three directions: toward myself, toward those close to me, and finally to all beings on the planet. I want love to be the very purpose that I'm here for, what makes me happy. What is my destiny? What is my calling? And it's the richest grace I could ever receive or give. And I'm not forgetting the people who are considered least or last, or who feel alone or lost. I'm asking that I become compassionate toward them, even assist them in some way. And finally, not only myself and others, but all and the people who are least and last and so forth, may all of us care for our planet. Do have cards about I think you're on mute, Sue.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to say, last week I commented about how difficult the work was from the book, in the book, to do. And by the time I read these last chapters, I was so thankful that I got that I'd got that far, and I was just a graciousness to you, because it's by the end of the reading, it's, I don't mean it's not that difficult, I just mean it feels doable. It feels something I can forgive, and instead of ego, doing my ego thing. Thank you.
Good. And my way of seeing it is very simple. If you can't do it, ask for the grace to do it. If you don't have a Holy Spirit, you don't have a Buddha, you don't have a Christ, do what Juliet did. Look at a tree, look at a cloud, and say, help me do this. Everything in the universe is in favor of the kingdom of justice, peace, and love. And so everything wants to help us. It's just waiting for us to ask. Well, I'd like to say thank you to everyone for your attention and your presence. And I hope what we talked about will make a difference in some way. So thank you.
Thank you.
Judith.
Well, I know I thank you, Dave, and I'm sure that everybody would like to unmute and thank you too. And thank you, and we wish you well, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much. So helpful. Very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Judy, are there any other Warden Life announcements you want to give us before we head off for the summer?
Well, we don't have a Word in Life. The steering committee is working hard on discerning the future of Word in Life and whether or not, well, we don't have anything to say, but we're working on it very heartfully, and we'll let you know what's up. Is that a good summary, Tim?
That's great. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be in touch as we head toward the 50th year.
Yes, wow. We have 50th year coming up in the fall, and we're going to do something, but we don't know what it is. But so stay tuned.
Thanks, all.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you,
Dale.
Tim. Thank you, Judith.
You're welcome, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, all.
Thanks, Dave. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.